Life Audio.
Christian Parent Crazy World with Catherine Seegers is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. I am your host, Catherine Seegers, and in today's episode, we will tackle this really tough question. How do you parent a prodigal child? Like, how do you maintain a good relationship with a child who is wandering? How do you stay in a place of influence in their life? You know, a lot of parents are walking this road right now. So a couple of episodes ago, I revealed, with permission from my child, that one of my kids is struggling in their faith. Now, I can truly say that my husband and I have a great relationship with our daughter. She is an incredibly smart kid, very deep thinker, and I've always taught her to question everything, and she has taken that instruction to heart very well. But today, I want to give you some hard-earned wisdom that I have gleaned over the past year of parenting a child who is questioning the faith and doesn't know what they believe. That's the plan for this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World. So let's get started. In the last episode, I aired the first half of my interview on Laurie Christine's show, Redeeming the Chaos, which is a podcast for moms of boys to join in the wild and wonderful adventure of raising courageous boys and connecting them with Christ. Laurie has four boys herself, so she knows what she is talking about there. I went on her show to discuss the topic of raising prodigals, and she has kindly allowed me to air this interview on CPCW. Thank you so much, Lori. In the last episode, I discussed the seven primary reasons that Gen Z is leaving the faith. I want to recap those briefly for you as we refer to them in the remainder of our conversation. Those reasons are: one, I have a hard time believing that a good God would allow so much evil or suffering in the world. Number two, Christians are hypocrites. Number three, I believe science refutes too much of the Bible. Number four, I don't believe in fairy tales. Number five, there are too many injustices in the history of Christianity. Number six, I used to go to church, but it's just not important to me anymore. And finally, number seven, I had a bad experience in church with a Christian. This is all from Barna Research. I will link that in the show notes. And I have some upcoming shows that will address some of these reasons more specifically. In today's episode, though, I offer some critical guidance on how to build a strong relationship with a teen or adult child who is struggling in the faith or who is on a prodigal path. There are many things that we can do to help draw our child closer to God. And there are things that may seem right, but are, in my opinion, counterproductive. They may push a child further away from God and from us. So with that said, let's jump back into this vitally important conversation.
So let's talk about what we can do if our kids just seem to be, you know, we've taught them the truth of the Bible. They've been in a church that is solid. We're doing all the right things. What can we do if, say, a teenager is starting to kind of rebel against Christianity, feeling like some of those questions you mentioned, maybe having some of those questions like, oh, well, my science teacher, they are more of an authority than the Bible or than my parents, or, oh, we've too much injustice in the church. You know, like as they learn more and more from their culture and more from other influences, they start to have those questions. So what can we as parents do to address some of those questions and just to help our kids who might be struggling while they're still under our roof?
Well, always first and foremost, no matter where your child is on their journey, pray. And sometimes we look at that as a last resort. It's our first line of defense. It is the very first thing. And one thing I've come to understand is that over the years is we need to move into our authority as parents in prayer. We have an authority over what we have authored. I have an authority to pray into my kids' lives that I don't have to pray into your kids' lives or or someone else that, you know, in the world. I can pray for whoever, and those prayers are powerful and effective. But when I'm praying for my child, God has authored that child through me. And so I have a unique authority there, because God is a God that, you know, honors authority. And so that's a place where if my child is struggling physically, if they're struggling emotionally, if they're struggling spiritually, I'm like, I'm heading into a heavenly courtroom. And I am getting busy with the enemy and saying, Lord, he is trespassing here. He is wreaking havoc. This is your child. Get your hands off my child. And I've got scriptures that I pray through. I've got a couple of indexed lists. Well, one index list over topical index list that's a free resource on my website for subscribing that, you know, would help you to find, okay, if your child is struggling in this area, this would be a good scripture. But then I also have a list of scriptures to pray if your child is struggling in their faith or is a prodigal. So while your child is still in your home, one thing I would say is make sure you understand what stage of parenting you're in. I've talked about this on my podcast before. There's really four primary stages of parenting. The first stage is the caregiver, and that we look at that as being sometimes it's the most exhausting and difficult. It's not the most difficult. It may be the most exhausting, but it's not the most difficult stage, I assure you. But that's, you know, when your child is young and infant and you're up all the time and you're tending to their every need. You know, you're changing the diapers, you're feeding them, you're washing them, you're loving them and all of those things. So you're the caregiver. But then we advance to this phase of being the cop where we're like, don't touch this, don't go there, you know, be careful. And we're trying to keep them safe, right? At this point, they have limited understanding, but lots of mobility. So we're trying to keep them safe. We've become the cop. But then in the elementary school years and through the middle school years, we're in this, and some of the high school years, we're becoming a coach. And as we're the coach, we're not just saying, don't do this anymore. We're telling them why. You don't want to touch the hot stove because it will burn your hand. You don't want to run into the street to get the ball because you could get hit by a car. We want them to understand the why in this phase so that they can learn for themselves. So when you're not there, when they are in the front yard and you aren't there, that they understand why they're not running into the street, why they're not playing with knives. And of course, that goes on as we're teaching them as they get older, why God designed us. And, you know, with two X chromosomes or an XY chromosome and what that means, that that's not just an anomaly and we can't change that and the ramifications of trying to change that. So we're having those deeper conversations because we're the coach, we're teaching them, but then we're explaining to them the why. But then we transition in the late high school to early adult years to being a counselor. My counselor doesn't come into my home usually, unless you're on a Zoom call. But I mean, in general, they're not, you know, they're not calling me. They're not a part of my everyday life in the sense that they're giving me advice all the time. That's the advice you get when you ask for it, right? I ask for my counselor. Okay, here's what I'm going through. What are your thoughts on this? And you transition into this stage because your child has a free will and they're an adult now or almost an adult now. And you need to honor that phase of their life, even if they're not serving the Lord. Now, if they're still in your home, here's what's critically important. You do have boundaries, right? In my home, these are the boundaries. If you want to live outside of those boundaries, okay, but you can't live outside of those boundaries while you live here because we all live in boundaries, right? My husband and I live in boundaries. My husband is not allowed to go out all night, hours of the night, drinking, carousing, being with whoever he wants to be with, right? And come back home and expect me to be waiting for him. That's not how that works. There's a boundary there. Vice versa. There's a boundary. I can't just go and do whatever I want. Neither can your child. And that's a hard thing to do when your child isn't walking with the Lord or is questioning things. But you still need to make sure, okay, these are our boundaries, but you need to allow them the freedom to be the adult that God's creating them to be. And make sure, this is critically important. I should have maybe led with this. So let me just emphasize this greatly. If your child is struggling in their faith and they've been open with you about that. First and foremost, when that conversation, if that conversation comes, commend them for their courage in telling you. Say, thank you for telling me. I know that took a lot of courage because you know what I believe. And you're questioning that and you may believe something different. I want you to know that's okay. And I love you regardless of what you think, what you say, or what you do in this life. whatever path you go down, whatever you choose to do in this life, I'm going to love you. And you know why I love you like that? Because God loves you like that. God loves you like that. So my love is unconditional. And that is really where we need to lead with our kids when they're walking with the Lord, or if they aren't walking with the Lord, but especially if they aren't, because that's the first thing they're going to question is, does my mom or my dad still love me, even if I don't believe what they've taught me all of this time? Do they still love me? Is that relationship secure? You've got to secure that relationship. So make sure that you're doing that. Set appropriate and healthy boundaries, okay? You may believe this, but you can't practice that while you live here, okay? You may believe it's okay to do marijuana, but you can't do that while you live here. If that's the life you want to pursue, I don't encourage that. I'm dead set against that. I love you even if you do, but you're going to have to pay your own rent in your own way if that's what you want to do. If you're going to do drugs, you know, you can't live here. If you want to live in sexual relationships that aren't biblical, you can't do that while you live here. That just isn't allowed. So establishing those healthy boundaries, but making sure first and foremost that they know that you love them, regardless of what they think, say, or do, because God loves us that way. And when you have that kind of secure relationship, then you've got the avenue of communication open to continue to be that counselor and to continue to be a voice of truth in their lives. That would be where I would start and lead. Because honestly, if they're in their teen years and they're questioning, they already know the truth because you probably already taught it to them. They don't need another sermon. What they need is an encounter with the living God. How are they going to encounter him? Not through a sermon from you. They've already had that probably. They don't need another sermon. They need to see the love of God in action through you. And that will be the biggest testament. Does God love me even if I don't believe in him? Does God love me? Does my mom love me even if I reject everything she's ever taught me? They need to know that you do. And that is of the utmost importance.
I love that you emphasized the relationship there, because I think, you know, if our kids come to us and they tell us, oh, well, I decided I'm going to choose this lifestyle, and we freak out and, oh my word, I can't believe that. Absolutely not. You're grounded for a month and they're never going to come and tell you anything ever again. I love that you said commend them for their courage. You know, wow, that must have been really hard for you to come and tell me that. Thank you. I love you no matter what. I love you regardless of what you do. And I think that is so, so important, because if you do want to have any influence in the lives of your kids down the road, you have to have that relationship. If you don't have a relationship, there will be no influence. And you're absolutely right. They don't need a sermon. They know if you've been doing your job from the time they were babies, they know the truth. They know the truth. And I love that you emphasize prayer too, just praying for God to work in their hearts, for God, because God is the one who changes hearts. We don't have that control. Like, we can do all of the things that we've talked about. We can teach them a biblical worldview. We can have family devotions. We can memorize scripture together as a family. But ultimately, we don't have control over their hearts. They can change their hearts and they can choose to follow God, and God can work in their hearts to change their lives. And I think this kind of leads into, I know you talk about a little bit on some of your podcasts about just the different responsibilities. You talk about our responsibility as parents. What is it, the responsibility of the child, and what is God's responsibility? Can you just briefly talk about that? So I know a lot of parents probably feel very guilty and overwhelmed when their child is questioning their faith, and they think that, oh, I must have done something wrong. This must be my fault, where it might not be in their realm of responsibility. So can you just talk about that really briefly?
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the first things a parent would feel is, what did I do wrong? And let's face it, we've all done something wrong as parents. None of us got through this perfectly. Did I make some mistakes? Yeah. Absolutely. When you realize what your mistake is, own it and be humble about it, and go to your child and repent and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for these mistakes that I made. And that humility and asking forgiveness is a bridge builder. So that's a really big one. I would say another thing for a parent who's feeling that guilt, understand this. God is the perfect parent. You aren't. I'm not. There hasn't been a perfect parent since, but God is the perfect parent. And he had two kids in a garden that had an infinite number of good choices they could make on any given day and only one bad choice. And like I said, he was perfect. Compare that to our kids. They have an infinite number of bad choices they can make in a given day and only one good choice. That's follow Christ, right? So that's the world we live in and we're imperfect, but he was perfect and he had two kids in a garden who could have done an infinite number of good choices, one bad choice. And what did they do? They chose the one bad choice with a perfect parent. So I would say to the parent who has a child who's questioning their faith or may have left the faith, God understands what you are going through. And you could not have parented your way out of this because you're not perfect enough, because God is perfect. Because God gives us a free will, he gave your child a free will, they have that right to choose. And he can't usurp it, nor should you. I was listening to a message recently where someone was talking about the four ways that we often try to parent: convince, convict, coerce, control. Convince, convict, coerce, control. This is not how we should be parenting. First of all, convince and convict, that's above my pay grade. That's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit. He is supposed to convince my child. He is supposed to convict my child. If I try to operate and convince or convict my child, I am operating above my pay grade and I'm taking on the office and the job of the Holy Spirit. I am not qualified for that. On the flip side, coerce and control, who operates that way? Not God. That's the enemy. That's Satan. So if I'm trying to coerce or control my child, I'm operating in the spirit that is going to push them away from me and push them away from God. So I don't want to coerce or control. I don't want to try to convince or convict. I don't want to operate above or below my pay grade. Instead, I want to love. I want to speak truth when prompted by the Holy Spirit, not sermons, and to pray. That's my job as the parent. Your child's job, if they're still in your home, is to live within the boundaries that you've lovingly set, because the boundaries in your home come with benefits. And those benefits are for people who live within the boundaries. So if they want to live there and enjoy all the benefits of your home, then that's wonderful. Make sure they know if they don't want that, that's fine. I love you. Let's find you a place where you can live and do what you want to do. I'm still loving you. My door is always open to you, but you can't do that here. So that would be your child's responsibility. And then God's responsibility is to be the hound dog of hell and pursue your child. And he does that. We can rid some of those obstacles through prayer. That's my job as a parent. First and foremost is to pray for my child.
Catherine, oh my goodness, there are just so many things that are so important that we just talked about, that you just mentioned. And I can't wait to go back and listen to this whole episode and take better notes. I've been taking notes this whole time. But we are just about out of time. But tell us where our listeners can find out more about you, about your podcast, and we will definitely have links to some of those resources that you mentioned in the show notes. And you also have, I know you have on your website, a prodigal bundle.
Yes, I do.
So tell us a little bit about that, and then also where we can just get in touch with you.
Yeah, so I started off my whole show, Christian Parent Crazy World, with the idea of helping to assuage the youth exodus. And my tagline originally was that this is a podcast about raising godly kids in an ungodly world. And I was a little over a year into the podcast and the weight of that heavy burden of that tagline was weighing on me. I'm like, wait a second. I can't do that. I can't produce godliness in my kids. And so I switched my tagline to, it's a podcast about being a godly parent in an ungodly world. Hmm. That's all I have control over. So I have so many episodes that are on the prodigal journey that was just heavy on my heart. And so I've assembled all of those podcasts and articles that I've written that would help parents, along with the resources that I've created, the scripture lists, and I put them all in one bundle package. So you don't have to go looking through all of my material to find it. So that's one of the free resources that parents would get if they signed up at KatherineSegers.com. And that will be sent to you, along with a number of other resources like the scripture songs that I mentioned. So you can find that all at KatherineSegers.com. Christian Parent Crazy World, you can find on any podcasting list, you know, iTunes, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, iHeart, wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's also on Life Audio. That's where you're going to get all the good show notes and my website. You would get get all the good show notes to any of my episodes. And I'm at my handle on Instagram is at KatherineSegers.com, and then Facebook is KatherineSegersSpeaker.com. So those are all the ways you can find me. And also my email address is Katherine@KatherineSegers.com. I love to hear from parents. I get emails from parents all the time who have a child who's wandered. That's the number one reason people write me, is they have a child that's wandered away from the faith and they need some encouragement and they need some prayer and they need some resources to help them. And that's what I'm here to help with.
Well, I know our listeners today are going to be so encouraged by your words of wisdom. And I know I was encouraged as well. So Katherine, thank you so much for joining us today on Redeeming the Chaos.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be here. I just love what Lori said in this interview. If you don't have a strong relationship with your child, you will have no influence. A few final thoughts on that profound note. You know, I ran across a comment from an agnostic that made me so sad recently. He was addressing this comment to a Christian, to someone who was actually defending the Christian faith. And he said, "If I don't believe in your God and do what he says, he doesn't love me." And the Christian who responded to him essentially acknowledged the premise of this comment as if it were true, that God doesn't love us if we don't believe in him or we don't follow him. I was like, what? Seriously? That is some low-hanging fruit, biblically speaking, because scripture is so clear on this point. Unfortunately, even a lot of Christians don't realize this, and a lot of parents don't realize it either, and they don't act like this in their own parenting. But let's be clear about this. We do not have to believe in God for him to love us. We do not have to agree with God for him to love us. We do not have to follow God or live by God's standard for him to love us. The good shepherd will leave the 99 found sheep to go in search of the one lost lamb. Then there's the story of the prodigal son in scripture, where the father, who represents God, is waiting anxiously, looking out the window every single day for his son to come home. And Luke tells us in chapter 15 of that gospel that while the son was still a long way off, that the father runs after him. He lavishes him with love and affection and gifts and a celebration. In Romans 5, verse 8 tells us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ's death is the ultimate expression of God's love. And he did that while we were still wandering from him. We do not have to follow God or even believe in God for him to love us. God's love is unconditional. Now, salvation has some conditions that are all up to us. God will not force us to be with him for all of eternity. But God's love is given to everyone in the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. Now, God won't force us to receive that love, but he offers it to everyone, everyone. So like God, as parents, we must love our kids unconditionally, regardless of what they think, say, or do. And they need to know that we love them that way. Loving our kids unconditionally is the most important way we can minister to them in a place of wandering or doubt. This is so important, moms and dads. As Christians, we must not operate like some kind of a cult. I've known some quote-unquote Christians who have operated that way. They have shunned or disassociated themselves from a child who has left the faith. That is not biblical. Yes, now, if someone is teaching an errant gospel, we should call that out because it is dangerous. We should disassociate ourselves from their theology. But if someone questions the faith, we must patiently answer their questions. If they leave the faith, we must love them unconditionally, no strings attached, and fervently pray for them to return to faith, to have an encounter with God. So to recap how to parent the prodigal child or the child who is struggling in their faith, number one, first and foremost, pray Like I said, prayer is a first line of defense, not a last resort. And you need to recognize your authority in prayer. Episode 14 of CPCW was on how to battle for your kids in prayer. Great resource there if you need some prayer instruction. That is one of the episodes contained in the Prodigal Bundle, by the way. You've got to rid the obstacles in your child's life in prayer. Number two, recognize and respect what stage of parenting you are in. If you have an adult child, do not continually give them unsolicited advice, even if they are making bad choices. Now, we should never cave on truth, but that doesn't mean we should beat someone over the head with truth either. Like I said, if you've raised your child biblically, they already know the truth. You can speak wisdom into their life as the Holy Spirit prompts you, but if you are always lecturing your child, they're going to resent you and push you away, and you will lose all your influence in their life. Number three, if you have an older teen or an adult child living in your home, prayerfully establish godly boundaries. If your child wants the blessings of living in your home, they must live within those boundaries. Side note here, remember, that is how God parents us. If we want the blessings of living under His covering, and there are a lot of blessings when we live there, we must live within His boundaries. Boundaries bless and protect us. Now, we're still going to love a child if they choose to live outside of those boundaries, but we will not bless them in that place because that becomes enabling. Mm-hmm. Number four, apologize for the times you have been wrong. Humility is a bridge builder. Number five, do not try to convince or convict your child. Rather, allow the Holy Spirit to do the convincing and the convicting. Number six, do not coerce or control your child. That is how the enemy works, and you will become a tool of the enemy if you coerce or control your child. Finally, number seven, last but not least, remember your child does not need a sermon. They need an experience. They need an encounter with God. I think I'm going to do like a whole episode on that one really soon. Okay, I'd like to end this episode with a word of prayer for all of the prodigal parents who are tuning in right now. Dear Heavenly Father, encourage every mom and every dad under the sound of my voice. Help them to see that you love their child more than they do, and you have a plan to redeem the choices that they are making right now. I pray that every struggling and wayward child represented by these deeply concerned parents and grandparents would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know you better. I pray that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened so that they would know the hope to which you have called them, the riches of your glorious inheritance and your holy people, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same power that rose Christ Jesus from the dead. So I pray that every struggling, wayward, prodigal child would come alive in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would raise them from the dead, that you would bring life from the dead places in their lives and set their feet on solid ground. I pray that you would give them a new song. And I pray that what the enemy intended for harm in their lives would be used for eternal good. I pray that you would cause all things to work together for the good of those families and these parents and these children as they love you and are called according to your purpose. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Whew. Got a little emotional there. That's how I pray through the scriptures, by the way. I used portions of Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 20, Psalm 40, verses 2 through 3, Genesis 50, verse 20, and Romans 8, 28 in that prayer. There is nothing more powerful than praying the word of God over your kids. God's word will not return void. We learn that in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. As always, drop me a line at Catherine@CatherineSegers.com if you are in need of some encouragement or prayer. I'd love to hear from you and pray for you personally. I want to thank you for joining me today. Look, I know There are a lot of things you could be listening to right now, and I really appreciate that you took this time to spend with me. I hope you will join me for my next podcast when we take aim at some aspect of our culture that threatens to derail our parenting and steal our kids' faith. If you enjoyed this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World, would you consider telling a friend and sharing it on social media and giving it a good review over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and following me on Facebook and Instagram? Oh, and maybe you could say that Christian Parent Crazy World is the best podcast you've ever heard in your entire life. Just a thought. And be sure to check out my website, which is KatherineSegers.com. That's Catherine with a C. I have lots of articles and resources there that will help you on your parenting journey. And if you subscribe, I will be sure to send you some really cool free stuff and notify you of future podcasts, articles, and blogs. I want to end this and every episode with a word of encouragement. God gave you your kids, your specific kids, for a reason. That's because you hold the key to unlocking who God created them to be. We'll see you next time.
Christian Parent Crazy World is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Hi, friend. Are you stressed, maybe even worried about so many needs around you that you've forgotten you are worth taking care of, too? Well, I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stressless Podcast. I want to invite you to join me as I share practical tips based on science, inspired by God's Word, to help you spark joy and restore God's peace and love to your soul. Subscribe now and go to lifeaudio.com.